session number 17301, reel 3.
Mr. Zurakovsky, reel 3.
So you when you dig the clay, you got to leave the little tower where you started. Being, you know, trying to do a bit more, you build up this tower a bit higher than it is. Of course, Norby Rovschek, who checked this, knew all these tricks himself. So by the argument, very often he kicked this tower and you lost with the smaller one. And according to this, what you work, you get food. There was different sort of food. Of course, I never get anything than the last one, you know. I never done anything really to earn any more. That was very, very bad. But in the time when you come, you try to make up this by the pinching from the kitchen. So we used to, few of us, go to kitchen and smash the barrel with the fish and pinch the fishes. Or you go there and pinch the potatoes with the bags made from the barks, wooden bark, from barks, bark from the wood, made like a sack, fairly size, you know. And you pinch this. Of course, if you were cold, you had it, you know. There was guard shooting to you from the top if they see anybody coming to the kitchen. So this was risk of the life, you see. But we were so hungry that we do anything to get something to eat. And very often, you see, you organize so that you bring it in because you was tired. You throw the bag on the side. There people divide it straight away and go to the different places and hide there. So when somebody follow, they never could find anything, you see. So this was like this. Terrible, really terrible. And beside this, you see, I have dysentery, and I was have blood in my, what they call?
Stools,
you see. So my brigadier decided that I should go to hospital. And you're going to hospital quite distance all day. And then you got to prove that you have blood. And, you know, when you are going there, you are so tired, you're so nervous, you're so worried, that you can't produce this. So you, again, you see, you're trying to pinch neighbor, you see, who was producing this, you know, on the piece of stick, and you got to show the Lekpom. Lekpom is like a felcher, like a help of the doctor. This. So they accept me. So my brother already was in this hospital because he has something here in the face. So we meet again, you see, in this hospital. Then I meet my colleague, Leszek Żółkiewicz, who was completely paralyzed from the waist down. So he couldn't get food. He only lay. So you see, we was laying on the top top bunk, and he was on the bottom. So seeing him, we start helping him somehow. But it was very, very difficult, you see, very difficult. I remember in the old hospital, there was 3 men on the every bed. They came first, before they removed the dead, they bring you food. Because there was, on my both sides, you see, died two chaps. So I still took food for these two chaps, you see. And then they came and brought the boat, you know, take out, yes. And I, of course, straight away, I took all his, their possession, you know, whatever was useful for me. And was fighting for this, you see. Then Lekpom, the lekarska, this is not doctor, you know, this felcher. He told me like this, look, you are now still eating, but they will come, that you won't be able to eat. And this will last about 3 or 4 days. If you force yourself to eat, you survive. If you want, you had it. And this time come, believe me, this is the worst time in my prison camp time, you see, to eat where you couldn't, you see. And you know that you must, and you can't eat, you know. The food won't go to the mouth. Terrible. Really terrible. And then they built new hospital, and they moved there, which was much better, because much better was, hospital was permanent. You know, before was temporary, everything, from the planks, from the timber. There was now flat beds, you know, double or three bunks, but it was a plain wood, you see, so this wasn't hurting you like a round wood, you see. And bumpy. There, sorry?
Bumpy wood.
Yes, yes. And then, you see, they moved on to this new hospital. There was this Jewish hospital, the Jewish doctor from Bojibesh, excellent man. This Dr. Sharbe, she was Armenian, finished university in Vienna. She was so many years in prison camp. And then she was free, but working there because she got to stay for so many years in the area. And she was so good that when people come to hospital, this, you know, nearly dying people, she used to cook in her own room food, you know, porridge, and bring to them. She was excellent. She used to give to the post a thin books of the interpretation from the Latin to Polish, some Romans writers, just to help this post to, you know, a bit come to the civilization. She was very, very good. And this Jewish man, when Leszek Żółkiewicz couldn't walk, he ordered make a trough, wooden trough. So my brother and I, we was going to the bath, bringing hot water to this trough, and we put Leszek there, to the waist, and this doctor taught us how to make massage of all his body. He was helping him as much as he could, but we was doing this every day about 2 or 3 times, you see. So gradually he come to himself, instead of walking on the stretches. And later on he was in the army, the Polish army, and one day nearly killed me, you know, as a commander of a different platoon. He was shelling me, not knowing that I am there, you see. So this was like this. And also I remember he was helping this doctor, because he stayed in the hospital. And I have pleurisy. I have so bad that I couldn't breathe. So they took, with a small injection syringe, they hold me my legs, hold me my arms, and hold me my head, and put this syringe through, and take out so much this fluid. So then they give me vodka, and they give us cod liver oil. And I survive, you know, survive. And later on in England, they told, when they make this x-ray in 1948, that I have TB, but probably I have, I can tell you this. So this was like this. Then I was released from the hospital to the camp. I was working on the railway, which we was laying the bunks with the timber to keep sliding down. And working on this, one day from the before we come out from the prison camp, they call all, you know, when we're standing going to work, they call all posts out. So we didn't know what happened, knowing this, that before they call people who have more than 15 year sentence. And they took all on the sledges, on the carts, and they shot them. And they come up only with the doings, you know, clothes. So we knowing this, you know, from our camp, we think, oh, this is time for us.
See? How did you know they'd been shot?
You see, these people who are taking, they are all prisoners. They, drivers of these cars, they are prisoners. All except guard who was a militian, punished, administrative punishment to go there, you see. They all was people who was punished. So information was quite going. So we knew about this. So we told, when they call us, you know, and we got to go back to barracks, that was, then this is it. But they call us, and then everybody went to work, they call us again, and they told us that we are free. Of course, we didn't believe. You see? So they say, but now, as we fight together, this is 41, you see, as we fighting together, you got to go and work as a free people to show solidarity with us. Because nobody believed, you see. So we went there, we built, you know, big fires, we brought the plugs of trees, we sit around, and we talk what will be happened to us. You see, nobody told that we are free. Excuse me. So they brought food, and they brought 50 grams of bread for everybody the same amount. So this was all improvement straight away. And they give us soup for everybody the same amount. So this was improvement. So we come home, and they didn't take us to the same barrack where we were before, only they put to the separate barrack, and we wasn't allowed to contact prisoners. So we were there 2 or 3 days, and they give us whatever they could to close us, you see. So few men get new bushwhack, this means jacket, new trousers, new shoes. And then all bushwhacks finished, all trousers finished, you see. So they have nothing else to close us, you see, to put on us. So I, for example, get only leather shoes, very good shoes, and nothing else. So this was, and we went from this camp as a free man. And funny enough, that when we were taken to this transit camp, enormous, there was a lot of people was there. I met there my brother, and I met my colleague there, two colleagues from Ostrog, Wolek and Krupczynski. And we went there. But you see, they all take a bayonet, like normally when you are a prisoner, bayonet is up. When they guard you, they put bayonet down. You see? Down. So we was walking, and telling truth, I didn't believe. Never mind. So, we come there, and of course from there we was the train come, and train took us to Kozhva, and then I bought cucumbers, you know, in the shop, sour cucumbers, I think 3, which was very big improvement. I was together with Leszek Żółkiewicz, this is my colleague, which walk, and they issue us, they divide us for the groups. Oh, I must say that in the transit camp, there was so many tables, and everybody come to get udostvorenie, document that we are free. And first we come, would you like to join Soviet army? Of course, no. Would you like to go to the factory to work? No. Would you like to go learning? No. Would you like go to civilian life on your own? You choose yourself. No. We all, majority of us, joined the Polish army. because we knew that about Polish army. So we all joined the Polish army. Then they divide us for the groups, for the wagons, and they put us in these wagons. And we was traveling to the south, to Totskoye. So on the way, they issue us food, and they give us 140, I think, 8 pounds. It is rubles each. And I have the udostvorenie, and I have certificate that my keeping me in prison camp was more expensive than I earned. So I owe so much rubles, 100 odd rubles, to the Soviet Union. I still owe to today. And the trouble is with this, you see, that when I come to Totskoye, the Polish army, they told us, now we are soldiers, you got to give all our documents. And I was silly, believing, I never believe anybody. I give my these two documents, and I never found them. I was writing to the Hoover in America, where his collection of General Anders, all these things, but they couldn't find, they found other things. They found a document of my older brother, but not mine. And I have my brother and my colleague, this I have this udostvorenie, I have here. So, you see, we was going. I remember once we stopped somewhere and we went to the canteen of the NKVD, of course, for soldiers. We came there and we told them, you know, showing that we are going to Polish army. They accept this. They give us soup, they give us loaf of white bread, beautiful bread, and give us fish and rice, very nice. And this cost us 40 odd kopiek, which is very good. Because normally they give only plates, and every soldier have own fork and spoon. We haven't, so they let us, you see. And they allow us to get another portion of the lunch. So we have 2 loaves of bread, which we take with us, and eat only soup and fish. There. So this was not like this. And I remember once we was queuing for bread. And because we was going to the army, they let us have bread first, you know, in the civilian life. I remember once there was a queue, huge queue for the porridge, yellow porridge, I forget his name. It's round, you know, the old Soviet Russia eat only this, you know, little porridge, like a yellow one. You know what I meant. Very, very nice, with the spoon of the oil. So, you see, being in the prison camp, you learn a lot. So all this huge queue, people, children, the women, you know. So what we was doing, my colleague was shouting, the train is going away. And I with my tin from the foot, you see. When everybody was worrying about this train, they ran to the train. I was running to the kitchen to get my porridge. You see, so they load the porridge, I pay, you see, and run. When they realize, you know, that the train is not going, they all come back. Of course, there's all commotion, all this fighting, you know, who is where. But we have our porridge, you know. I didn't care about anything, you know. I have my porridge. This was. Same, I remember, you know, our engine was broken down somewhere very, very close to the Totskoye. And I went to the village, and I saw, this was already autumn, I saw through the window a heap of the potatoes. So I knocked to the door, and this woman let me go. And I asked, you know, you see, this all, I tell her, I'm going to buy, you see, but I haven't money anymore, you see. So I said, oh, I would like, you know, to sell me. So she said, oh, no, because I can't sell you this. Because this for all my year, for year Russian, I won't get any more potatoes. So I said to her, look, I'm going to Arbe. When I said this, she gave me full my pockets, you know, in my jacket, which was only top, you know, because I all in this bushwhack, all cotton come out, in trousers, all was ruined, all I was in the rags, you know. So she gave me this, and she gave me a piece of pork fat, you know.
Lard.
But it's not lard, this is what they keep salted. This was brown one, you know, so old. And she keep for her son. So she give to me and say, oh, somebody give her my son.
What nationality was she?
Woman. I spoke to her as much Russian as I could, and this was it. The local woman now in this village.
But this was on the way to Southern Central Asia.
Yes, to Totsko, yeah, to the Arbe. On the way to the Arbe. But still on the on this part, you know, Ural is here, finishing it. Kuibyshev and Totskoye there, you see, so this was there.
Somewhere near Kuibyshev.
Yeah. So this was all Russia, or whatever she was. Yeah. No, I meet the professor of the Tashkent University, Tajik, nationality, and he knew history of Poland wonderfully. And she always, he always asked for the glasses, achki. He have no, he couldn't see anything, you see. And he was looking for the glasses, and he asked everybody, whoever he met, you know, in prison, this is, for this achki, you know, glasses, because he couldn't see. Terrible. And he never worked. They consider all these Tajik, other people consider him as a great man. They bring him food, you know, and look after him very much, very much. It's funny that in prison, you have the other people which was like a Chinese. They hate Russians, real Russians. They always fight. They kill them. You see, they have sticks cut so that would go through the bushwork, through the cotton, which is very difficult to go through. You see, they go, you know, when fight starting in the barrack, all guard running away, you say, never came to fight finished. It was terrible.
So they'd stick these sticks into the arm?
To the body, to kill. They was fighting, they was killing. I once, you know, I ran under the bank, which was terrible. You know, the pee, dirt, everything, terrible, you see. So I you know, I didn't want to take a part in this, you see. I have nothing to do with them. And there you see, they have their beds in the top. They build always themselves, Chinese separate. They all own bunks, they all keep together, they all work together, they get food together, all together. And they, when they fight together. And I was there, you know, under the bunk, and one of the Chinese pulled me out. When he recognized me, he pushed me back. And I saved, you know, trouble, because I could be beaten, you know, well beaten. Terrible.
So they were looking for Russians?
Only Russians. They never fight the Kazakhs, Uzbeks, or another Tajiks. They only go for Russians. They hate them, you know.
So it was a kind of racial hatred?
They hate the Russians.
Or national hatred?
Yes. I must say that the other people, you know, Lot was very good man. There was Kazakh, which tell me my future. And he used to have 41 little stone from the bread. You know, he chewed the bread, and then he built the little, from bread, but you take like this triangular, you know, and he throw them. And he was telling me, my mother and my sisters was all right. My brother was all right. But when he threw for my father, he said, I can't see him. And he never said nothing to my father. He couldn't see him. He threw this for my country very well. You see, your country is doing very well. Your future is very good, you see. And he told me that my future is good. So then I dream about riding the horse. And he say, so many days you come out from the prison. Then I dream again, and I went to him, and he told me exactly date when I was free. And this was truth, because, you see, I was free this day.
Can you say now what did happen to your father?
You see, I found out first in Tehran, when because in the on the Russian territory in Kitab, and I didn't know nothing. Then when I come to Persia, my father, my mother get a letter from the Polish authority that my father is on the list killed in the Katyn. And then she, never know from this.
Now, can we pick up the story of your journey to Soviet Central Asia? Your own journey?
From prison camp?
Yes, you were telling me the story of your journey to join the Polish army.
Yeah.
Can you pick it up again?
What do you mean?
Can you continue with the story?
Oh, yes. Are you in the army?
Yeah. Can you tell me how you eventually joined the Polish
army? So you see, when we come to Totskoye, there we come out, you know, all this train full of people, you see. So there come Polish officials in the Polish uniforms. This is really terrible, or not terrible, wonderful feeling, you know. You see Polish soldiers, you know, and this is really a very, very touching moment when you see the uniform, you know, and you see that something will be. So they come, and first thing, you know, all officers got to come out. So all officers come out, then all soldiers and non-commissioned who been serving in the Polish army before come out, and left with us, all civilian. So I was civilian then, you see. So they took us to the this Moshomoyka, this to bath and
fumigation,
and I was 2 days waiting for the commission, you know, to examination. And when they examined me, they didn't want to take me to the army because I was so light, you see, I was so thin. I was very, very thin. So in the end, you know, they say, okay. And they put me to the 16th Regiment of Infantry in the 6th Division in the Totskoye. And I was then soldier. It is it.
What kind of a unit? An infantry?
Infantry, unit? Yes. And in infantry, I went through all to the end of the war. You see, I was in the same. First, I was in the regiment. Then they, in the Middle East, they transformed this to the battalion. Because in Russia, or Soviet Union, we have a Soviet system of the army. Then we come to the Tehran and Iraq, they make a British system. They change all to the battalions, and I went to the 16th Battalion Infantry, and with this battalion, I went through all campaign to the end of the war.
What was the equipment of the Polish army in Russia like?
You see,